Shoot by a word of prayer as we begin the service this afternoon. I'm done praying. We'll have a trio sing a song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Let's pray. Father, this is a difficult day. And we are here to celebrate the life of someone, of Libby, who was very much loved by many people in the community, especially by her family, and most especially by her husband, Bobby. We pray that you would comfort the family at this time, bring them your peace, a peace that passes all understanding in spite of the circumstances they are going through. Ask your blessing on our time together. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Even so, it is well.
At this time, I'm asking to give the eulogy.
On behalf of the family, I would first like to thank everyone for the outpouring of support we've received over these last few days. All of your messages, calls, and kind gestures are very much appreciated and have helped us cope through this very difficult time. Although times like this are emotionally trying, having such a strong group of friends, as well as our faith in God to lean on, have made it much more manageable. My dad asked me to share the following words. Libby left behind a very compassionate husband, two beautiful and loving daughters, a wonderful, self-sacrificing mother, three brothers who always respected her, many special friends, both locally and around the country, and lastly, an adoring and heartbroken father. When I think of Libby, the words loyal, faithful, kind, loving, and compassionate are the first that come to mind. Libby had the unique quality of making you feel like you were the most important person in the room. She literally had hundreds of best friends because everybody in her world felt a strong connection to her. That is also why she was such a natural teacher. There were no tiers of hierarchy in Libby's classroom. All the children, no matter what their backgrounds, were on the same level to Libby. She loved them all and treated them all the same. I've had numerous parents tell me that their children had the privilege of being in her classroom. And it truly was a privilege for Libby to help shape so many of the young people in this community. In our family, Libby was the glue. She was our fixer. When you had a problem and needed advice, you always talked to Libby. Even my parents, with their many years of wisdom, often went to Libby when they were unsure how to handle a certain situation. She had an unflappable personality, tremendous strength and patience. No problem was too big for her to help solve. Libby was also a protector. You would think being the one girl with three boys in the family, she would lean on her brother for protection. But the funny thing is, Libby acted as our protector. I remember when I was in high school, she was a junior and I was a freshman. Entering high school can be an intimidating time, but having my sister in the same building gave me comfort. Actually, I had a brother too, Tyrone, who was a senior, but Libby actually had my back more than Tyrone did a lot of times. But Libby would not stand for anyone picking on her brothers. Anytime I crossed paths with her in the hallway at school, no matter who she was with, she would make sure to say, "Hey, Maddie." That may not have seemed like a big deal to her, but it was a gesture that meant the world to me. As we grew older, Libby remained a voice of support. Anytime I called her, regardless of what I was going through, She always made me feel like there was light at the end of the tunnel. You always felt better about your situation after talking with Libby. Through her battle with cancer, Libby never cracked. True character is revealed in times of our greatest adversity. Libby was a beacon of strength and perseverance throughout her ordeal. She never felt sorry for herself. She didn't question her faith. She didn't complain about the unlucky hand she was dealt. Instead, she fought and fought for 2 years until God eventually decided it was her time to come home. I've had a few people in the last couple of weeks tell me that they didn't realize Libby was such poor health because she would continue to message them back and forth and never let on about her deteriorating physical condition. But that was Libby. She refused to get beaten down by life storms. She constantly looked at the glass as half full. She was such an amazing example to all of us. She was very strong in her faith, but at the same time, she didn't push out on others. Instead, she let her actions speak for themselves. She simply lived a testimony of kindness and love. In her husband, Libby was blessed with a perfect partner. Together, they showed that the vows of in sickness and in health until death do us part were more than just words. That's what they lived. Bob was an amazing caregiver for Libby during her battle with cancer. He never left her side. He never showed any signs of getting worn down or being overwhelmed. If you want to see what true love looks like, all you had to do was witness how Bob treated his ailing wife. As we move forward, while Libby will no longer be with us in her physical body, her spirit will live on. We are left with so many wonderful memories. I encourage all of you to recall a favorite memory of Libby and keep that in the forefront of your mind in the days, months, and years to come. When you're having a tough day or going through a difficult moment, reflect on that memory of Libby to help provide some positivity and relief. Libby was one that never asked for much, but I know that she would want us to forever remain in support of Bob, Emma, and Jada as they have to navigate through a new normal. I pledge to be available to the three of you whenever, in whatever capacity you need, and I ask the rest of you to do the same, whether it is a phone call, a text message, an email, or stopping in for a visit. It is important we provide with them the love Libby would want us to surround them with in her absence. In closing, I would like to recite the lyrics of a song I first came across a few years ago. I happened to hear it again a couple weeks ago, and then after getting the phone call from Mom on Tuesday night informed me of Libby's passing, the words instantly came back to me. It is titled, Jealous of the Angels, is written by Jen Bostic. I didn't know today would be our last, or that I'd have to say goodbye to you so fast. I'm so numb, I can't feel anymore, praying you just walk back through that door and tell me that I was only dreaming. You're not really gone as long as I believe. There will be another angel around the throne tonight. Your love lives on inside of me, and I will hold on tight. It's not my place to question, only God knows why. I'm jealous of the angels around the throne tonight. You always made my troubles feel so small. You were always there to catch me when I'd fall. In a world where heroes come and go, well, God just took the only one I know. So I'll hold you as close as I can, longing for the day when I see your face again. But until then, God must need another angel around the throne tonight. Your love lives on inside of me, and I will hold on tight. It's not my place to question, only God knows why. I'm jealous of the angels around the throne tonight.
Bobby requested that we sing Amazing Grace. We don't have any hymnals, but hopefully there's enough people here who know the words. And you can sing along with us. We'll sing four verses and just follow me as I lead. Oh. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you mind if I pray once again before I bring the message? Father, you've put lots of thoughts. I've had lots of thoughts the last few days. And to try to put them down into words, you know that to express our thoughts, we must use words. And I pray that the words I say will be words of encouragement, words of comfort, and they will be received as I intend them to be, received with grace. I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. There are times that God has us, or allows us, or asks us to go through difficult times. And this is one of those times. The prophet Jeremiah experienced the same thing. He says in Lamentations 3 that it seemed like God's hand was against him all day long. It seemed like God was hemming him in and he couldn't get out. That God was causing him to walk in darkness rather than in light. That seemed like God was a lion waiting and lying in wait, or a bear lying in wait to attack him. He goes on and on and talks about his experience. And his conclusion may surprise you. Because at the end, he says, verses 21 through 23, Lamentations 3, he said, "Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For his mercies are new every morning." Great is your faithfulness. When we are going through difficult times, times when it feels like you've just been gut punched, there are choices that we have to make. And I think the first choice we have to make is we have to choose truth. In times when we are experiencing sorrow and sadness and pain, we must choose God's truth to get through. Because God's word, God's truth is expressed in His word. And God's word is always true. God's word is always accurate. God's word is always faithful. Because God is faithful. In John 3:33, John writes, "Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true." There is no other place to turn for comfort other than in God's truth and in God's word. Let me remind you of a couple of scriptures about God's truth, concerning God's truth. In John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, if I can find the right verses. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." So we can't, no one can snatch them out of the Savior's hand. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. In Romans 8, verse 35, and then verses 38 through 39, Paul writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else and all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And in writing to the church at Philippi, Paul writes, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." This eternal life that we have, we have because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Sin demanded a penalty, and Jesus paid that penalty for us. And by trusting in His work on the cross, He gives us eternal life that will never end. Our physical bodies may die, but we never die. A lot of great things can be said about Libby, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful that we were privileged to know her, privileged to share in her life. We're saddened that it's such a short time. But the greatest thing we can say about Libby is she's a child of the King, and she's in His presence right now, enjoying her eternal home. And the great thing is, our saying goodbye is only temporary. One day, we will be reunited with her for eternity because she was a child of the King. Having chosen truth We can therefore choose to have hope. Hope is not something it's not wishful thinking. Like, oh, I hope the weather's nice today, or I hope such and such takes place. Hope is the assurance that what God says, He will accomplish. What God wills, He accomplishes. And so our hope is in what God has revealed in His Word. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." When Israel came into the land of Canaan, their leader Joshua reminded them, said, "There is not one promise that God has said He would do that He has not done. There's not one word that God has uttered He has not done for you." God is faithful to His promises. He never changes. Numbers 10:23 says, "God is not a man He should lie or change His mind." God's word is always faithful. 2 Corinthians 4:14 says, "Knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence." 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 57. "I tell you this, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory?" When Jesus came out of the grave on the third day, He conquered death forever. So we choose God's truth to get us through these difficult times. And therefore we have hope in His word. A third choice we must make, or we can make because we have chosen truth and we've chosen hope, we can also choose comfort in these difficult times. The Bible says we can have a peace that passes all understanding. The unsaved do not understand how a Christian can have peace and comfort in difficult times like this. It's not that it doesn't hurt, because it does hurt. We don't deny the sorrow and the pain and the grief. But there is peace and comfort in that pain, in that sorrow. Paul writes in Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And in John 14, verses 1-3, Jesus said to His disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. In My Father's house are many rooms. If this were not so, I would tell you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." And so are comforted because we know where Libby is. She's with her Father and her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I said, just because we have peace and comfort doesn't mean we don't sorrow. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope." So do we grieve? Absolutely. But we have hope in that grief. And then a fourth choice, and I was going through what I was going to say, and I deleted this fourth choice because I wanted to make sure it was received in the right way. But I'm going to put it back in because of something I read. I saw a plaque that said 40 things we loved about Libby. Is that it right there? And I didn't read all of them, but I read down through to where I saw it said, she chose joy. We can choose joy in times like this. Choosing joy is not denial. Choosing joy is not saying it doesn't hurt. But our joy is centered on that which cannot be affected by our circumstances. Our joy is centered on that which cannot be affected by our circumstances. It doesn't deny the pain. It accepts the pain. But in spite of the pain, we have joy. It's very biblical for Christians to grieve. When Paul was about ready to leave the area of Miletus, he called the elders or the leaders of the church at Ephesus to him. And he gave them some instructions and he reminded them of how he had served the church at Ephesus. But he also said in that message to them, we will never see each other again here in this life. And it says at the end of that passage that they wept bitterly because they wouldn't see him again. And so, yes, we weep and we sorrow and we mourn. As Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time to laugh and a time to cry, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And so we weep because we will not see Libby here in this life again. But we will see her. And when we see her again, we'll never be separated ever. Never. And so we take joy in knowing that our separation is temporary. I was reminded by my sister a little earlier, you know that in heaven, there is no time. And so when we get to heaven and join Libby there, it will be as if she just got there and we just got there with her. Because there's no time in heaven. No day, no night. No day or no night. No time in heaven. So we choose truth. Because we choose truth, we can choose hope. Because we choose truth and choose hope, we can choose comfort. We can also choose joy. And let me leave you with these words. I'm not sure I like the word community, but the Bible teaches us that as Christians, we are part of the body of Christ. And I heard a speaker just a couple weeks ago say, allow God to wrap his arms around you through the arms of another. Let Jesus wipe your tears through the hand of another. So allow the reason I like community is, you know, a community, you don't necessarily need everybody. But as a body, we need everybody, every part of the body to function properly. And so, for lack of a better word, choose community. Allow the body of Christ to function as it's to function, to be an encourager to you in the days ahead. One passage that brings me comfort, and I was comforted in these with this verse when I did my dad's funeral and my mother's funeral. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints." Something that is precious, we guard it. Something that is precious, we take care of it. And the psalmist says in Psalm 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." So as Libby walked through that valley of death, her shepherd was with her every step of the way, guarding her and keeping her. Because the death of his saints is precious to him. And through death, our bodies are delivered from the very presence of sin. Our bodies are delivered from any pain or disease. And one day Libby's going to receive a body not subject to pain, not subject to disease, one that will live forever. So I hope that what I've said has been a comfort to you and has helped to bring peace to you today. Just to remind you of what we have in our Savior. The promise that we will all be reunited one day and spend eternity together, praising God and worshiping and in the presence of our Savior. At this time, Daryl, I'm going to come and dismiss you. And